Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Well, I believe that today is the first day of a week of miracles that I want you to begin to expect today in your life, right in your home, in your life, through this season of Christmas and through the new year. I believe it's going to be the beginning of a week of miracles. It's going to lead to a whole year, a whole new year of miracles. I believe that you are going to see unexpected surprises in your life, pleasant surprises. In fact, I want to talk to you about that today as we launch this Sunday, this week of the beauty of Jesus, the beauty of his birth, the beauty of Christmas, the beauty of Emmanuel, God with us. Thanks for letting Life Changers come into your home again as we meet in the temple and from house to house, as we've been talking about for many, many months now. Well, I want to talk to you about the miracle of pleasant surprises, the miracle of pleasant surprises. And I want to talk to you about how to expect the unexpected, because there's really some pleasant surprises that God reveals to us through the birth of Jesus that should become a way of thinking and a way of life for each and every one of us. As we journey with God every day, we should be expecting pleasant surprises, expecting unexpected blessings. Really, they're not unexpected when you're expecting them, but you get what I mean. Well, Ephesians chapter 3 really lays it out for us, because God is always surprising us. I want you to expect that today. God's always surprising us. He's always surprising us with his love. His love surprises us. We never thought it could be that good. His forgiveness surprises us. We never thought it could be that complete. His generosity surprises us. We never thought it could be that generous, that large, that thoughtful. Wow, these are pleasant surprises. God's sense of humor surprises me. That's a pleasant surprise. I used to think that God was so serious and so austere and so unapproachable, and yet he said, come boldly to the throne of grace. The Bible talks about how he sang with his disciples. The Bible talks about how he teased them and joked with them, and how he played with them as in a loving and in a fearless, joyful way. And I want you to experience that kind of Christmas, that kind of Savior, that kind of relationship with God, the God of pleasant surprises. Well, his wisdom surprises us. It seems like if we pray and ask God for wisdom, he said he'll give generously. And when I've asked God for wisdom, sometimes I've gotten answers that no human being could have ever conceived. No, I could have never come up with some of the answers that God gives when we ask him for wisdom. His wisdom has pleasantly surprised me, and I hope that you'll begin to expect the pleasant surprises of his love and the pleasant surprises of his forgiveness, the pleasant surprises of his generosity, the pleasant surprises of his humor, his wisdom. These are all such amazing surprises. But Ephesians 3:20 builds on this and speaks to this. It says that, you know, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. But I really love this in the Amplified Bible in Ephesians 3:20, where it says, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly. I love that. To do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest desires, our highest hopes, our highest dreams. That he's able to do infinitely beyond our highest prayers. Like, I don't know that I've prayed my highest prayer yet. I don't know that you've prayed your highest prayer. The only person that's prayed the highest prayer is Jesus. I think my prayers have gotten a little high, but but I believe that they could go higher. And God says he's going to do infinitely beyond my highest prayer, beyond your highest prayer. I can't imagine how you've even gotten there yet, and yet he's going to do above and beyond it. Wow. My highest dreams, my highest desires. Boy, if we could get a hold of this side of God, this dimension of God, it would set us free. We would live with such confidence and such faith and such expectation that not only will He answer our highest prayers, some of us feel like, well, God might answer if I hit really low, if I don't expect too much, and yet He wants to go above and beyond your highest prayers, your highest dreams, your highest desires. Oh, what a beautiful Savior. Wow, what a beautiful God. And He's your God. He's my God. He's your Savior. He's my Savior. Are you ready for that kind of life? I sure am. A life where God is doing infinitely beyond all that we can ask or think. A life beyond our greatest prayers, our highest hopes. Boy, a lot of us would probably have a history where we had high hopes and those hopes didn't get met. We had high hopes in college or high hopes in our finances or high hopes in a relationship or high hopes, and it feels like sometimes those hopes have been disappointed, those hopes were shattered, those hopes were destroyed. And yet God says He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. It doesn't matter what's happened before Jesus' birth. What matters is all that His birth represents and all that's going to happen because of His birth. It doesn't matter what your past has been. What matters is the blood-stained mark of Jesus' fingerprints in your life. Once you get that touch, once you receive that touch, when you're born again, Jesus leaves His fingerprints on everything in your life and it changes. He changes the DNA of your life, the DNA of your past. He can turn your past into something powerful. He can turn your ashes into beauty. He can turn your pain into a destiny and a purpose that is greater and higher than anybody ever imagined. We could talk about this all day, but I want to continue by sharing with you the most amazing and pleasant surprise of all that God surprised the world with was, as we are celebrating this week, was the way that He came to this earth as a baby, the way that He came in beautiful humility, the way that He came in an unexpected way, the way that He came to this earth the first time to save us from ourselves, to save us from the devil, to save us from sin, to save us from a life separated from Him. Wow, the Jews, the Jewish people of Jesus' day, the Jewish people that the old covenant was written for, the old covenant was made with them, they expected a Messiah that was quite different than the one that came. Jesus didn't really meet their expectations. And I wonder if in many of our lives, I believe that Jesus not only meets our expectations, but exceeds them. But sometimes we think that He's going to be one way and He comes at it a different way. He's going to treat us one way and He comes back and treats us in a whole better way than we could ask or think. We're expecting the consequence of this mistake or that sin in our life, and somehow God turns it around and does exceedingly abundantly and goes beyond our expectations. But the Jewish people didn't necessarily have wrong expectations. They just had the wrong timing of their expectation. You see, they read the prophecies about Jesus coming. They read the prophecies about the Messiah coming, but they were reading about His second coming. They seem to have missed or skipped, or maybe God blinded their eyes from seeing this for a greater purpose, but they didn't see the first coming. There's two comings of Jesus. There's the first coming 2,000 years ago, and there is His second coming, which is yet to come, and He will return just as He said, just as He promised. And really, the promise and prophecies of His first birth are proof that He will fulfill the promises. The prophecies of His first coming are proof that He'll fulfill the promises and prophecies of His second coming. Absolutely guaranteed. It would be impossible for man to pull off such an incredible first coming. The second coming is going to be incredible too. He's going to burst through the skies, but He burst through the skies the first time, only it was not in a way that anybody expected. The wise men who came from the east seeking the newborn Jesus, they even were expecting something different. They were expecting this glorious king, and they found this baby king. They found this beautiful king in a baby. King Herod, who ruled Judea under the Romans, clearly understood that the Messiah, the Jews expected, the one that they expected, was going to be a king, and he thought he was going to be a rival to himself. Herod thought the Messiah would be a rival to his kingdom. So he asked the chief priests, where in Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 through 16, he said, where is the Christ to be born? Because he didn't want to come worship him. He said he wanted to come worship him, but he said, where's this Christ going to be born? Because he wanted to destroy him, because he thought Jesus was coming to remove Herod from his kingdom and to establish his kingdom. But God's kingdom is not of this world. And we'll come back to that in a moment. The Jews were expecting Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, in the latter days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations will flow from it and flow to it. And that will happen, but that's his second coming. They thought the Messiah was to be like the son of David. So people expected that just as David had expanded God's kingdom by going to war, that the son of David, who came as the Messiah, would come and go to war also. The Messiah was expected to be like Moses, who defeated the Egyptians and established Israel as a nation at Mount Sinai. The idea that the Messianic king would lead a rebellion was a prominent expectation. They thought that the king that was supposed to come would rescue them from a political standpoint and from a governmental standpoint, but he didn't come for that, not yet. So I want to talk to you about this, because the Jewish people got his first coming mixed up with his second coming. Nothing against Jewish people, but they got it mixed up. That's why they were surprised. That's why they had something that was unexpected happen. There are two parallel universes of scripture and prophecy about the coming of Jesus, his first coming and his second coming. And I want you to see something about his first coming that I believe will impact your life forever. I want you to see three things about Jesus' first coming and how pleasant of a surprise, how miraculous, how glorious his first coming was. Because I want to talk to you about, number one, the unexpected things of Jesus' first coming, the unexpected lineage of Jesus. I want to talk about the unexpected lineage of Jesus for a moment with you. This will transform your life. The unexpected lineage of Jesus. Matthew wrote about Jesus' lineage, and Matthew's lineage of Jesus is unbelievable. I mean, it's believable because it's in there, but it's unbelievable because it's not what we expected. Most of us would not build a team, much less a family or a world, around these people in Matthew chapter 1 in Jesus' genealogy, in Jesus' lineage. Haven't you always wondered, why does the Bible go so thoroughly through the genealogy of Jesus? Why does he go through the lineage? Why does he go through all the ancestors that led to the birth of Jesus? Because these are people who God used, and if we were God, we wouldn't have used these people. Because we expect God to use really holy people, really special people, really stars, celebrity people. You know, when you think about it, we wouldn't build a team, a family, or a world with the people that God used in Matthew chapter 1. That's why there's hope for you and me. That's why there's hope for all of us, no matter how bad our life has been. God uses broken people. God uses imperfect people. God uses people with a past. God uses with people with skeletons in their closet, and frankly, skeletons hanging out right in the front of their living room. God uses people with skeletons that are actually right before their very eyes. God's not shocked at your sin. He's not shocked at your past. He's not shocked at what you're going through. He's not shocked at even the fact that you might feel like a hypocrite. Like, I'm trying to worship, you know, God on Christmas week. I'm trying to worship God today because it's Sunday, but oh, my life is so screwed up. God's not limited by your screw-ups. God's not limited by your mistakes. God's not limited by your shortcomings. God's not limited by your failures. Look at the lineage of Jesus. We wouldn't build it. You and me wouldn't build a team. If we're building a team, we want Michael Jordan's. If we're building a team, we want Tom Brady's. We want Patrick Mahomes. We want Tiger Woods. We want Hollywood celebrities. We want people that can dunk, people that can throw, people that can dance, people that can sing, people that can act. We want the pretty people. If we were building the team, the lineage of Jesus, we'd pick all the handsome people, all the pretty people, all the really holy people, all the put it all together people. We'd pick all the people that we would think, oh, you know, we can't do this without stars. We can't do this without celebrities. We can't do this with broken people. We can't do this with pipsqueaks and, you know, and people that can't shoot and people that can't dribble and people can't catch a pass and people that can't hit a golf. Like, you understand, we wouldn't pick people like that. But let me just get to it. God's marvelous, perfect plan to save the world didn't look so perfect. In fact, it looks imperfect, like you and like me. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Well, we could stop right there and talk about those guys. Man, the son of David, the adulterer, the murderer, Jesus is a son of that, the son of Abraham. He gave his wife away, tried to give her away twice. Maybe you tried that at home. It doesn't work so good. You try to give away your wife. Abraham tried to give away Sarah because he was trying to save his own life. He's, you know, when you give somebody up because you're trying to save your own behind, that, think about that, that you turn on a friend or turn on a loved one to save yourself. Most of us wouldn't do that. We don't like people that do that. And yet Abraham was a person who did that. And he's the second person mentioned in Jesus' genealogy. Whew. The son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. These guys were nearly criminals too, gang. Sometimes we think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these holy founding fathers of the faith. What? These guys did the craziest things. They tricked each other's, they tricked their family members to try to get ahead. I mean, we could just go on and on about their imperfections. And yet God brought the Son of God through them, brought the King of Kings through them. Don't miss this unexpected lineage, the miracle of this unexpected lineage, that God can work through anybody, that God can do a miracle through anybody, that God can do it in you. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers, and Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Tamar, we'll get to her. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. You think, what are we doing on Sunday talking about this genealogy? Because this is reality, folks. This is where we really live. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. By Rahab, the harlot. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, and David, the king, begot Solomon by her. Watch how he describes it. David begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Like, he doesn't even call her by her name here. Bathsheba is who this is, but he describes her as David the king begot Solomon. Sometimes I think probably the writers of the scriptures were even shocked that the Holy Spirit was telling them to write this. I wonder if the Holy Spirit was telling Matthew to write the name Bathsheba, and he's like, I don't want to include her. She's got such a terrible past, and you know, she was, you know, was willing to, you know, commit adultery with David, and then Bathsheba, she was, you know, David killed her husband, and then she had Solomon after that. Like, maybe I should just write the her who had been the wife of Uriah. Like, think about that. Think about that. I'm not saying that Matthew got it wrong, but I'm saying, isn't it interesting how he describes her? And Jacob begot, verse 16, we jump down, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Beloved, if we could get a hold of this today, this unexpected genealogy, think about this list. Think about this list. It included a woman who pretended to be a prostitute to get her father-in-law to sleep with her. It included, which was Tamar. It included a Canaanite prostitute, Rahab. It included a cursed Moabite woman, a Moabite woman who was considered cursed by God. It included, this lineage included the adultery, the murder plot, and the subsequent cover-up of the Old Testament's greatest hero. As we already talked about, it included Bathsheba, the one who participated in the greatest hero's sins. And then it includes a young teenage girl named Mary who claimed that God made her pregnant. Can you imagine coming home if you were 15 years old like she was? Can you imagine coming home to your parents' house and saying, I swear God did this to me, Mom. I swear God did this to me, Dad. I swear, no, I've never had sex with anybody. I swear, the only reason I look pregnant is because God did this to me. Can you imagine that? The long-awaited Messiah comes through outcasts. He comes through sinners. He comes through failures. And that's still how he comes today. He comes to people through you. He comes to people through me. We don't all have it together. We don't have it all together. I don't, you don't, nobody does. God is bringing Jesus to this world through unexpected people. I want you to take the limits off of what God can do through you. If the Son of God, if the King of Kings came through these harlots, these cursed people, these people who committed adultery and murder, if the Son of God, if the King of Kings came through them, why are we limiting what God can do through you? Why are we limiting what God can do through us? Why limit such an unlimited God? I want to leave this point, because I got 3 points. The first one was the miracle of the unexpected lineage. And I'll leave this point with this thought. No failures are permanent with God. No failures are permanent with God. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how bad you failed. No failures are permanent with God. And guess what? We are with God. We're not without God. We're with Him. He's with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The unexpected lineage speaks so much freedom to me that God can use me, that God could use me even in my early years, even when I didn't know anything. I'm barely scratching the surface of all of God's goodness and revelation now in my life after more than 35 years as a Christian, almost 40 years now. And yet, He used me then. He uses me now. He's used me all in between with all my warts and all my mistakes. And you're no different than me. I want you to believe in the new year, for the next year, that God's gonna use you like you've never experienced before. God's gonna work through you like you've never experienced before. The second miracle is the miracle of the unexpected kingdom. The unexpected kingdom. I want you to think about when Jesus came for a moment. And I want you to think, in fact, I want you to think about a country for a moment. A country being torn apart by warring political forces, protesting minority groups rebelling against the government, religious opportunists choosing politics as a tool of power, corrupt rulers with their own agendas. Hey, that sounds like today. And yet, this is a description of the country that Jesus was born in. The world Jesus was born into wasn't so different than ours. It was really quite similar, which means the unexpected way he was born is still shocking today. Jesus came quietly into an and he came to give birth to an unexpected kingdom. In John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Boy, we get a hold of that. We got to stop fighting for the kingdom of politics, the kingdom of this world system, the kingdom of a world that is built upon selfishness, lust, greed, fear, anxiety. That's the kingdom of this world. But the kingdom of God is the opposite. The kingdom of God is an unexpected kingdom. They thought Jesus was going to build a physical kingdom, but Jesus came to create an invisible kingdom. An invisible kingdom, Romans chapter 14, not of this world. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. It's not about physical things. It's not about rules to keep or rules that shouldn't be broken. Can't eat that. You got to eat this. You can't eat that." No, this kingdom is an invisible kingdom. He said it's the kingdom not of eating and drinking, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's an unexpected lineage that Jesus came through, as he will come through still today through us to this world. And it's an unexpected kingdom that Jesus comes to establish, an unexpected kingdom that Jesus gives birth to when he comes to this earth. What kind of kingdom is it? It's a family kingdom. It's a royal family kingdom. It's a family of a heavenly father that sends his only son to show his love to you and me so that we can be washed of our sins and made kings and priests as a part of his royal family. It's a kingdom of royalty. It's a kingdom of seeds. Mark chapter 4, 26 says, "The kingdom of God is like a man who plants a seed in the ground." Mark chapter 4, verse 26. The kingdom of God is a man. The kingdom of God is not a place. Heaven is a place, but the kingdom of God is a man. Look at what he says. The kingdom of God is like a man who plants a seed in the ground. The seed sprouts up and grows. It's a royal family kingdom. It's a seed time and harvest kingdom. It's an inside out kingdom, this kingdom of God. It's an inside out kingdom. Luke 17, verse 21 says, some will say the kingdom is here, some will say the kingdom is there. But he said, no, 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 no. For the kingdom of God, don't look that way, don't look that way. When they say, see here, see there, Jesus said, no, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. You're carrying the kingdom of God as a child of God. It's an unexpected kingdom. It's an upside down kingdom. It's an inside out kingdom, and it's an upside down kingdom. Mark 10, 42 says, Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. You see, the world system is to rule and dominate others. The kingdom of God is to serve others, to build others up. Not so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. You guys see that? See that in verse 43? Your servant. The kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Beautiful kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a servant ruled kingdom. Matthew 23, verse 11 and 12, the greatest among you shall be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And finally, number three, I said there's three miracles of Jesus' birth. Three things that God introduces to us to look at in a different way. These miracles of these pleasant surprises, an unexpected lineage, an unexpected kingdom, and an unexpected king. An unexpected king. They were looking for a king to sit on a throne. And Jesus comes as a child. God does things different. God's kingdom isn't this world's kingdom. We've got to stop fighting for this world's power, this world's stuff, this world's praise, this world's fame. We have been given something so much greater, and we have been given it not only so we can experience it, but we can introduce it to others and bring others into this kingdom and bring this kingdom into others, this unexpected lineage through us, this through them, and then now through us. Jesus comes into people's lives through his people now. As we introduce people to Jesus, introduce people to an unexpected kingdom, introduce people to an unexpected king. Isaiah 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord will give you a sign himself. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. He prophesied that. God had Isaiah prophesy that impossible situation, and it came to pass. It literally happened. And we see it fulfilled in Matthew 1, 21 and 22. You know this was fulfilled just like it says in Matthew, just as it says in Isaiah chapter 7. And then Isaiah 9, verse 6, the unexpected king. For unto us a child is born. God works through children. God works through the humble. God works through what we didn't expect. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulder. Not the government of a nation. The government of the kingdom rests upon his shoulders. The kingdom of God. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How does he come, this unexpected king? Zechariah 9, verse 9, behold, your king is coming to you. He's just and endowed with salvation, humble, and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That got fulfilled too when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding a donkey. It's a prophecy of his first coming. They didn't see it. People expected the messianic king would come to bring war and to judge the people. And yet he came to bring peace on earth. He came to bring mercy. He came to prove his love. He came to destroy this world's, the ruler of this world came. The Bible says the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. He came to save, seek and save the lost. He came to establish his kingdom in man, his presence inside of us. This unexpected lineage that he would come through failures like us. This unexpected kingdom that is not of this world. We have to get used to living by God's system, God's kingdom. Let's not get caught up in the things this world gets caught up in. We're carrying the presence of a king. We're a part of the royal family. We got royal blood running through our veins. It's so powerful, this unexpected kingdom, this unexpected king. His banner over us is love. It's a kingdom that whose banner over us is love. Song of Solomon says, he has brought me to the house of wine, and his banner over me is love. He has brought me to the house, to his house of wine. Wine is the new covenant. Wine is the blood of Jesus. He has brought me to the house of a new covenant where I can be a part of a new kingdom, where I can be a part of a new family, where I can be a part of a new system that's built on love, not fear. Love, not selfishness. Love, not anger. Love, not anxiety. Love, not a battle of flesh and blood, a battle for power, a battle for attention, affection, a battle for approval, a battle for being popular. No, we don't have to live that way. We're a part of something different, a humble kingdom, but yet we're to bring that kingdom to this world with humility. Our way, God's way, is different than this world's way. This world's way is fight, step on whoever you got to step on. God's way is step down. Every time you step down, you're going up. God's kingdom is reversed. It's not what goes up must come down. God's kingdom is what goes down must come up. You know, God's gravity, the kingdom of God's gravity, is you plant a seed and it comes up. You serve and God promotes. There's only one way into this kingdom, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3. Unless one is born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you can't even enter the kingdom of God. So you know what? I want to take a moment right now and invite you to be born again today. That is the greatest thing you can do in your life. If you have not been born again, I want you to pray with me, and I want to pray this with you. Just pray this. Heavenly Father, that's it. I invite Jesus Christ. Just say this out loud. I invite Jesus Christ into my life as my Savior, as my King, as the lover of my soul. Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. From this moment forward, I'm a child of God. Wow, if you prayed that prayer this great day, this great glorious Sunday, this day of pleasant surprises, and we're going to be overtaken this week with pleasant surprises by God, miracles of pleasant surprises. Get ready to expect those. And for those of you that prayed that prayer with me, or you know somebody that prayed that prayer, would you download our book? It's free, absolutely free. It's my gift to you. You can download it anywhere in the world. It should be on your screen, or there'll be a link on in the message section or of whichever platform you're watching this on. But it is the next steps, the power of a new life. It's the next steps in this Christian journey of what to do next. What's next? This will explain what's next. Get that, download that anywhere in the world. It's my gift to you, absolutely free. I want to help you grow and take the next steps to connect with us. And for all of you that are connecting with me today, thank you. And bringing life changers into your home and connecting and staying connected. You've pulled something off over these last 9 months that is nothing short of a miracle, that we've stayed together, that we've continued to minister to our community, our nation, and our world far above and beyond anything that we've done ever before. In many ways, this has been a really the worst year in many people's thoughts and minds and opinions, but yet with God, in many ways, this has been the best year, an opportunity to simplify our lives, to focus on the things that really matter, to really be love, to be the good, to expect good, and to be the good to this world, to expect love, love, and more love, and to be love to this world. So thank you, Life Changers family, locally and around the world. Lord, I bless every person right now in the name of Jesus. I release blessing. I release the supernatural miracle of pleasant surprises to show up in their lives. Lord, do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that any of us can ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest hopes and our highest dreams. Lord, yes, you are able and you are willing. And we ask you for that and we receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. I cannot wait to see you at our next service and worship Jesus with you. And we have an incredible week of celebrating the birth of Jesus. Let's stay connected. I love you guys. God bless.
Hey everyone, we hope you enjoyed that powerful message. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast for more amazing messages like what you just heard. You can also search for Gregory Dickow on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter for tons of great content throughout the week.